a lot of movies as well. Welcome to, speaking of movies, Movie the Podcast. That's right. Movie the Podcast. Happy Memorial Day to you and your ghosts. Yeah, we're here.
Even though this won't be uploaded until Thursday.
Whatever. We're here in spirit, just like those who served our country so valiantly in Grenada. We watched Mean Girls musical remake, a remake of a movie.
Which I don't know if this is like, you know, sometimes the Plex puts like just random posters together, but I don't know if this is like an official title, but on the Plex, it was called Mean Girls, the new movie, which I thought was really funny. I was like, what the hell is that?
Mean Girls.
Accurate.
This is Mean Girls, the musical, which I'm kind of surprised it's not called that. Like, why? Right. Probably because they wanted to trick people into thinking it was a musical.
Because there's already a Mean Girls, the musical. This is the movie adaptation of same.
Oh, well, but yeah, but when they like, couldn't they still do that? Because it was made by the people that made the musical, I think, right?
I would hope. Otherwise, yeah. Someone's getting sued.
Tina Fey wrote all three properties.
Well, did she not?
According to the credits,
she wrote the book.
She didn't write. She wrote the book.
Did she?
And she wrote the screenplays of the first film. And then I don't think she wrote this. I don't think she was involved.
That was story by, but maybe they're just saying story by it's and the based, same story, based, right? Yeah,
based off of yeah.
Well, you go, Glenn Coco.
All right, so yeah, we watched the Mean Girls musical, and. I have thoughts.
She did not write the book.
Oh, she did not write the book. Okay.
She did not. Because the book, the movie originally, and the book takes place in like Bethesda. Like it's a Maryland movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. She's from like Pennsylvania.
Oh, how dare she?
All right. So yeah, much to talk about. The first musical we've ever reviewed on the show, at least I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't count like Streets of Fire as a musical. There's a lot of musical elements.
That's a rock and roll fable, sir.
Yes.
We haven't watched any musicals.
Why, are you surprised at that?
I am. I figure like we've done like 300 plus films. I figure one of them has
415.
That's still 300 plus, Alec.
Damn.
That's math, baby.
He's got you there.
Damn. It's still fraculated.
Hoisted by your own petard.
Yeah, it spoke too soon.
Well, anywho, for the accountant, the musical.
What did y'all watch this week? Alec!
I watched two things.
Two things?
One thing, well, actually both things are really good. One is I watched with Gogs. You talked about
it. You don't have to table it, so you can just go at it.
Yeah, yeah. We watched The Fall Guy the other night on the Plex. That movie is tremendous. That movie slaps. It's so funny. The action is insane. Like that, you saw it, TJ, right? Did you see it, Sean?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I only watched one movie this week.
Oh, you gotta watch The Fall Guy because it's
good.
I thought it was going to be good based on the trailers, and it's better than I thought it was going to be.
It's just a fun film. Two enthusiastic thumbs up.
Those stunt set pieces are absolutely fucking insane. Especially the one driving through Sydney on the dumpster.
That was the best part of the movie. Yeah, that was fucking
crazy. It's absolutely wild. And like, even watching the, like, they do the, like, credits at the end and they show the stunts happening and kind of the movie happening. And, like, there are points where you can't tell if it's, Ryan Gosling or not. Like, they do such good work with the stunt guys.
They did a great job.
And their looks, like, when they were showing the bit at the end and, like, the dumpster's, like, on the spinning rig, spinning around. I was like, that's Ryan Gosling. Like, no way.
Some of those actually were him. He like got on that, and I think he actually got dragged for a little bit on the one part where he's like on the back of the dumpster holding on by a shovel. I think he actually did some of that stuff.
But the movie's fucking tremendous. It's really fun. It's really funny. Ryan Gosling's great. Emily Blunt was good. Winston Duke. I feel like he needed more screen time. Like he's so good.
He's very good.
He needs more screen time and everything except for Us. That movie sucked.
Yeah. That guy's really good. I really like that guy.
Yeah, I liked him as he's really good as M'Baku and Black Panther.
Yeah.
I remember watching a video of him reading like thirst tweets after that. And like the first tweet that he read, like they didn't show up to him ahead of time. They were just like, read this. And the first one is like, I want M'Baku to come blow my back out.
That's the one that Sean wrote.
Yeah. That's what I thought. He loves M'Baku. He loves the vegetarian mountain tribe.
Yeah, I just like get my back blown out.
Hell yeah.
Whatever works for you, bud. The other thing that I watch that pairs nicely with the movie we were reviewing is the original Mean Girls movie.
I meant to watch that. I didn't watch
it. You should have watched that. And I should have told you to make sure you watch that first.
I'm kind of glad you didn't watch it because I think you would have been even more upset watching the fucking musical.
Can I ask a question that will tie into the movie later on? Is this like is the new one? It's not like a 1-to-1 remake, right?
It's
like,
very
exactly. It is almost identical.
Yeah, almost identical. Okay. Just no singing in the first one.
Yeah, it's very close.
Okay.
There's no singing in the first one, and there's a few jokes in the first one that didn't make this one that I noticed that were jokes that I thought were funny and didn't find them offensive. Like at the very beginning, Tina Fey is teaching her class and, like, oh, we have a new student from Africa. And she immediately looks at a black girl. She's like, hi, welcome. And the black girl's like, I'm from Michigan.
Now that's funny. That is funny.
Yeah.
Doesn't she say something in like Swahili or something to her? Doesn't she say like Jobuku or some shit like that? She does.
I don't remember that.
That's funny.
That's just Sean. But that's not an offensive joke. It's a funny
little joke. But it's not offensive because it's making fun of the white person that's trying to
be. If you're from Africa, why are you white? You can't just go around asking people why they're white.
The original Mean Girls is very funny.
I need to watch it.
Yeah, like the original Mean Girls is like an 8. It's tremendous. It's really funny. And it made this even more disappointing because we watched them on like back to back nights. We watched Mean Girls to refresh and then watched the feature presentation the next night and we're just like, ugh.
So I assume that the one friend that in the musical that's like, that's friends with the big gay guy, that's the Lizzie Kaplan character in the original.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I know that it's so. I know so much about Mean Girls, the original, without actually seeing it, just because like so much of it's been like memed and you know what I mean. Like it's a movie feel like I've seen that I haven't actually seen.
Yeah, it's really funny and everybody's so good in it. Like all the plastics, Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried,
Lacey Chabray.
Lacey Chabray.
Her father invented the toaster strudel. They don't bring that up in this movie either. I don't, at least that I recall, which I was like, why not? That's a funny little.
A funny one.
A funny who little. Lindsay Lohan's parents in the original one.
Oh, it's Anna Gasteyer.
Scrubs.
It's Anna Gasteyer and the janitor from Scrubs.
Ah, that's
Mike Heck from that movie, The Middle, or that show, The Middle.
I do fucking love Tim Meadows in the first one even more. I will keep you here all night. You're like 8 o'clock. I will keep you here until 4 o'clock. Like,
Tim Meadows' delivery is just so solid gold. And anything he does.
Who wants to talk about share their feelings? It says that Janine, the book says Janine is, I forget what it says, uses a tampon as a dildo. But I can't help that I have a wide set vagina and a heavy flow. And he just looks at her turn and says, I can't do this.
Is Boo You Whore in this one? I don't remember that part.
I don't remember it in the second one or in the remake. But God, that first one is just an absolute treasure. I've seen it a handful of times and every time it stays just as funny. But yeah, that's it. I watched a TV show. So there's a new streaming app. Shocker. New streaming app. It's called,
another one?
Yeah. It's called Network. And they're only releasing their own original content. So right now there's only two shows on there. But all their advertising is from like these other these other companies that they're running through their advertising. And we watched one of the shows and it was really good. It's called The Green Veil. And I don't know why it's called The Green Veil because it didn't really make reference to it in the show at all. But it stars John Leguizamo, and it's easily the best thing I've ever seen him do.
Goddamn.
But
I don't know. He's pretty good in that Christmas movie that we liked. I really liked
it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Violent Night, he's good.
And this, he's more subdued, though. He's not just unhinged.
Yeah.
And, but it's a story about in post-World War II how Native American children were basically just kidnapped from their parents, taken to Catholic orphanages, and then given to white people.
Jesus. It's kind of heavy.
It is heavy. It's a dark show. It's really dark. But, like, it's really good. He's the only person of note. I couldn't place anybody else in it. Nobody else, like, rang a bell that I'd seen him in before. But it's real good. You should download the app. It's network. It's free. And they've got that show and one other show on there right now, and that's it. And they're just releasing more stuff as they get more content produced. Like, they're not going to have any third-party stuff. They're not going to have, as of right now, they're not going to have, like, other movies and shit. Like, when you go to the app, it's almost jarring, only having two options. But it's kind of nice.
That's weird. It's weird to launch something with only two things to watch on it. That's an interesting strategy.
It's like the Neo Geo Pocket.
I can't remember what their like advertisers are. You get kind of sick of them because it's the same ones over and over. But I recommend the show.
We only got two shows and we got three ads.
Right.
Yeah.
Keeps them on brand.
I recommend the show. Find a network, the network app and check it out. It's only, I think, 8 episodes. Some of the episodes are under a half hour, like 25 minutes. Like, it's not long at all. Like, you will bang out the whole thing in a night if you really wanted to. That's it. I'm still watching X-Men 97. I haven't finished that yet. I gotta finish that. I'll probably finish that the next couple of days. I'm just gearing up for The Boys comes out soon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, next month or maybe next week.
Yeah, that's gonna
be
awesome.
So that's all I watch, Cogs.
Let's see, I watched a handful of things, one of them, I guess, is tabled, because me and TJ just saw Furiosa, TJ for the second time. So I watched The Fall Guy again with Alec, loved it, still love it, that's great, movie's a ton of fun. Also, just reflecting on John Leguizamo, really liked him in The Menu, very good.
Oh yeah, I forgot
for him in that.
Possibly hot take. He's pretty good in Romeo and Juliet, a movie I don't hate, but I should.
I haven't seen that in so long. Liz and I were just talking about that. I was like, Baz Luhrmann, right?
Yeah.
He
plays. Yeah, I was thinking about like revisiting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Prince of Cats. Tybalt, Prince of Cats.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it like that. Anyway, Prince of Cats. I watched these other movies. I watched The Scar Giver. That movie wasn't very good.
Oh, so, God, yeah.
Thanks, visionary director Zack Snyder. So we're working through the Marvel movies, and Vance and I watched The Winter Soldier.
That movie
takes an unprecedented pile of ass. Like,
Vance told me it's his favorite movie the other night.
Dude, it's super goddamn good. Yeah, he's right. It goes hard.
I did get a kick. Gogs, I didn't post this because I didn't want to upset anybody on your Instagram, but I got a kick out of Vance doing his impression of like the Gaza Strip by just unloading a Nerf machine gun into a little kid with a blanket over his head.
It's how we keep it around here. We keep it 100 behind Netanyahu.
He's settled in the basement.
He's got a little tool bulldozer over in the corner. I watched Suitable Flesh with Heather Graham, which is a interesting sort of, like, I would almost call it, and I know TJ has watched it, sort of like a hyper realistic take. Like, it's got like almost that
it's super goofy. It's like a Stuart Gordon movie. It's like if you've ever seen like Reanimator. Right. or From Beyond. It's very in that vein. Like, it's very, like...
I should have said hyper-realistic. Like, what do you call, the vibe of Edward Scissorhands? You know what I'm saying?
What is that? We say it all the time, too. I can't remember what the term is, like...
But you know what I'm talking about, right, Sean?
Like, it's hyper-realism, not hyper-realistic, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, Heather Graham's good in it. It's a cool Lovecraft story. It's gross and creepy. And, the woman that plays opposite of Heather Graham, like, I looked up her stuff.
Barbara Crampton. She was in Reanimator.
Well, she's in, like,
From Beyond.
Yeah, she's in nothing but H.P. Lovecraft projects. I did not know Barbara Crampton
name. She was like a scream queen in the 80s.
She was in Chopping Mall. I know that much.
Yeah, she's in a lot of 80s.
So. I've been calling her Crampton.
nice. I think the most interesting thing about Suitable Flesh. What's the title of
it? Suitable Flesh.
Suitable Flesh. Is that it's an H.P. Lovecraft story that is about sex, and H.P. Lovecraft probably never had sex in his whole life, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Probably because once he introduced the cat, the women would leave.
What's the name of that cat, Kyle?
Steve. Steve Lovecraft. I also watched, and the last thing I watched, was other than Furiosa, which I'll wait for TJ to talk about. I watched Boy Kills World.
I was looking forward to seeing.
I really enjoyed it. It is it's very violent. It's not as good as Upgrade, and it's a little over directed and over the top, but I enjoyed it. It was exactly what I wanted it to be. And I thought the story was pretty decent, and you know, I called one of the twists and got caught off guard by the other one. So I was like, good job, movie. You did it.
Was one of the twists that he's blind to?
No, that would have been a hell of a twist. That would have just been twists on twists.
Don't say the twist. I haven't seen it yet. I want to watch it.
Okay. Well, so anywho, but Bill Skarsgård is great in it for basically not always do is emote with his eyes and body language. John Benjamin.
It's either heightened realism or hyper reality. That's the word.
Yes.
Yeah.
H. John Benjamin as inner voice is a good time. Famke Janssen, forgot how hot she is.
That's one of Sean's favorites.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Shartlow, give me a gal with a big square jaw.
Shartlow Copley, am I saying that correctly? He's great in it, and I don't know the actor's name. I didn't bother to look it up, but he's the guy that screams Christineth at Marky Mark in The Other Guys. He plays the other brother this group of kind of villainous people that live in some sort of jungle city that doesn't really make a ton of sense. But no, it's really good. It was cool. I enjoyed it. Like I'm saying, not. Like somewhere between Upgrade and a Crank kind of vibe.
Those are two movies I like a lot.
Yeah. So, I'm very interested I'm super curious as to why it got bad reviews and it only was in theaters for
It was in theaters for literally a week. We went to go see it the second week that it was supposed to be out. It was already out of theaters, which is insane.
Yeah. So, and people are it's no good. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I turned my brain off and had a good old time.
People suck. People are idiots. So yeah, you got to remember that.
So I
read a review on it that said it was too silly and too violent. And it's just is that what it was exactly trying to do?
The trailer told you that. Come on.
Right.
It's literally a movie called Boy Kills World.
I will talk about it in a few minutes when I talk about Furiosa, but sometimes internet, especially with the internet movie reviews, stuff people clamp onto just drive me insane, and I just don't get it sometimes. People make up their minds before movies come out, and it's just this movie looks dumb, so it's dumb. It's okay, well, it's supposed to be dumb, right?
But that's everything I watched. I will pass it to TJ and talk about Furiosa when he does.
Let's just start off with the other two movies that weren't Furiosa that I watched. I watched three things this week. Three fucking movies. Oh my God.
God in heaven.
So I watched a movie called I Saw the TV Glow. It's a new A24 film. It is by a director whose name you think I would have remembered by now. It's Joan something or other. And Carnahan. I loved it. No. Joan, not Joe.
Yeah, it's his sister, Joan Carnahan.
And it's not even Joan, it's Jane. Sorry. Joan Jane. That's like a Tim Tom situation, right? It's like the same name. Jane, I'm gonna butcher this name. Schroenburn. So anyway, Jane Schroenberg has made a really, really solid movie. I saw the TV Glow. I think it's kind of amazing. Like I thought that, it's unlike anything you're probably going to see this year. Like it is super unique and that alone, like makes me like love it a lot. Like it's definitely not a movie for everybody. It is a very vibes based movie, as I like to say. Like it relies very heavily on like atmosphere, and the plot is a little thin and it's more about the visuals and kind of the feel of the film. But I absolutely loved it. And also, lots of credit goes to the director for this movie is about these two kids that bond over this 90s TV show that's very much like Goosebumps or Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that kind of thing. And they show the show in the movie and it looks like a crappy 90s TV show that they must have gotten, like video cameras and actually shot it on video, because it looks exactly like a fucking what you'd see on a TV screen in the 90s. And that alone, you all know how irritated I get when shit doesn't look right. That alone, I was like, okay, you won. I love this movie already, because you actually put the effort in to making the thing look like the way you wanted to look. But also, the movie is a metaphor for basically like not being your true self, and it's in a weird way, it's kind of an existentialist horror movie. Like I don't know. There's a lot to love about this movie. Again, I don't think it's for everybody, but I thought it was fucking brilliant, and I like that movie so much, I went back and watched their first film, We're All Going to the World's Fair. A movie that has a lot of the same themes that that I Saw the TV Glow has. I didn't like it as much. I think
Like an El Mariachi Desperado type deal? Or they're just
No, it's okay. A completely different story. It's good, and it has some very strong moments throughout, but the problem with the movie is that like I don't think they knew how they wanted to end it, and the ending is like very unsatisfying, at least to me. Like it's like I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in the movie. The movie We're All Going to the World's Fair is about this. I mean, it's funny because in the movie they call it an MMORPG, but it is not an MMORPG. That would be like a World of Warcraft or, you know, like EVE Online. What they're doing is what people on the internet refer to as an AR game, where basically you have like through a series of like YouTube videos, you are participating in this kind of like fake reality that people buy into, like creepypasta stuff, if you're familiar with that concept.
TJ, what was that one that was like really big for? Oh fuck, it was like
I mean, there's a lot of
espionage them. Type thing. I can't remember.
There's a like lot of them.
And, Matrix adjacent.
Matrix. I can't remember, but this movie is kind of interesting because it kind of deals with how we live online and how like what we choose to kind of broadcast to the world instead of what we really are in life. At least that's what I took away from it. And then like the blurring between what is real and what isn't real. And like, I thought all that stuff was like really, really interesting. And then it kind of just like ends. And I'm like, there's like horror elements, right? Cause the idea of this game that they play, it's like a horror thing where you announce that you're part of this game by saying you have to prick your finger and you say, I am participating. I want to go to the World's Fair. And then there is stories that like once you, open yourself up to this game that all sorts of evil supernatural things happen. And then the movie is about this girl, through these videos that she's uploading saying like there's times where she's not like in control of her body and like it's pretty wild. And the way that they shoot the movie is like, she's always kind of isolated and alone. And it's definitely about that and how, you know, again, in like the era of the internet. And I thought all that stuff was really good. And I don't want to give the whole movie away because there's like a pretty pivotal scene where there's this guy that's like also, he's not playing the game, but he's like kind of obsessed with the game and he becomes obsessed with her. And then there's kind of this interesting dynamic between the two characters where it's kind of like what happens with a lot of online content creators these days, where there's like this weird like parasocial relationship going on. I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff to this movie, but again, it ends kind of flat. So to me, it's like a 7 out of 10. Like, I think it's still really interesting and it's really cool to see that movie, which they made, I think, 2 years ago. And then to see like the literal like evolution of them as a filmmaker, because I think like I saw the TV Glow as a much more like fully realized and bigger budget movie. Like it looks better. It's structured better. I just like it's cool to see the growth like already between those two projects. And I saw the TV Glow as like a 9 out of 10, and We're All Going to the World's Fair as like a 7 out of 10. It could have been a 9 if it had a better ending. But then I also watched Furiosa and I liked it so much. I saw it twice. I loved it. I think it's fucking brilliant. I think that the thing with following up something like Fury Road, and just like, it's, even though it's a prequel, it's the problem that you always have with sequels, which I like to call the Home Alone 2 problem, where like you basically just remake the last movie over again. And George Miller, I think, is like super smart and aware of these kinds of problems. So like he basically made like a completely different style film from Mad Max Fury Road. Like, not to say this isn't an action movie, but this is, you know, the subtitle of Furiosa is a Mad Max epic or whatever. And that's what this is. Like, it is structured like a 5-act epic play almost. And it's fucking really good. Like, you know, I think one of my favorite things about Fury Road is all the world building that movie did without really saying a whole lot. And then this movie kind of plays around in that world that he established in Fury Road. And I thought it was great. There's this action sequence in this movie that is like 22 minutes long. That is, I mean, it just is ever escalating and it's so fucking good. And it's just so like, it's just, George Miller is just a fucking genius at shooting action. And the last thing I'll say before I pass it to Gogs is, earlier I said like I get irritated sometimes with like film discourse, as you know. And I kept seeing people say, oh, this movie's not as good as Fury Road because like it doesn't look as good. Like I saw somebody say that the movie isn't dirty enough. And as I watched this movie today, I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? And it's like, I know exactly what they're saying is what people bitched about it during the trailer. But then when you watch the fucking movie, it's not like that. So it's like, did you watch the fucking movie or did you just make this fucking determination up 3 months ago and you're like, oh yeah, this movie looks too CGI. And it's like, what are you talking
that's
about?
What I was like, gonna ask you, is there a bunch of like, because it looked a little bit, and this is just from the trailer and I haven't followed any of the discourse, but it did look like a couple like really noticeable compositing shots in the trailer. Is there a lot more? Like, I don't expect it to be like this huge, like,
I don't think so. I mean, okay. there's some
in Fury Road too. Like, it's not like Fury Road doesn't have composites in it.
I don't find it like, I never found it distracting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything flows. Everything's shot really well. It looks great. Like, I think the movie looks amazing. And it's just like, I feel like people just make up their mind about shit. And they're like, oh yeah. Like, to say this movie isn't dirty enough doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, the exact quote this guy said was like, it looks like everybody just put on clean clothes. And it's like, what are you, like, what fucking movie did you watch, bro? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, like in the beginning, like, Chris Hemsworth is clean-ish.
For about 5 minutes.
Right, but then, like, over the passage of time, like, everyone's just grimy, like, you're in the fucking wasteland of Australia. Like, it is dirt everywhere. Like, it's, I don't know who's saying this movie is clean-looking.
Yeah, it's the most absurd critique that I heard. And then again, like the overuse of CGI, it's like, this isn't Avatar. Like, this still looks like Mad Max. Like, this still looks like it looks mostly practical. Like I don't know. It's again, it's just like people, I swear people make up their minds about something. And it's like, oh no, it looks bad. It's bad. I'm like, okay.
How was Chris Hemsworth?
He's great. Amazing. It's a performance of his career.
He's really good.
He might be the best part of the movie. I mean, I love the whole movie, but he's so good. Like
he's such a slime ball. Like he is, like where Immortan Joe was sort of terrifying, Chris Hemsworth is like terrifying and charismatic, but also a coward and like a fucking loser, like all at once. And it's,
he's like great. A wrestling heel in this movie. Yeah. And like the movie, one of the things that I thought was like kind of impressive about this film is how like it goes in a lot of different directions. Like Chris Hemsworth goes from being like really silly and kind of like over the top to like really serious and dark in like 2 seconds. Like he's making jokes and then you watch some guy get like quartered and it's like, oh, okay. Like it's very interesting. Like the tone that this movie gets to. And, but yeah, Gogs, what did you think?
I really, really enjoyed it. I thought, like you say, Chris Hemsworth was great in it. The action was a lot of fun. It's got like, as we were leaving the theater, I was telling TJ, I was like, I can just give me any movie in this world and I will eat it up. Like the first time a War Boy showed up on screen, I was like, ooh, like I just love, I love that landscape and that environment that George Miller has put together. I think it's fucking cool and it just makes for cool shit to happen. And we all love a good post-apocalypse. Right. And like,
it's like we were talking about with The Crow last week. Sometimes it's okay for movies to just be cool.
Yeah, it's just fucking, it's just a good time. And like, I don't know, all the moving set pieces, like when you're just seeing people swinging around on sticks, they had like a bunch of dudes doing paragliding and stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I would bet a lot of that was practical. I don't know. It's a good time. It's a straightforward story.
And and
you know how it ends.
Scene in particular with the war rig and how the war rig was basically like a meat grinder because so many of their defensive moves were just to knock you into the tires of the fucking rig.
Like, you know how it's going to end up. You know that.
You know who else is great in the movie? The actress who I'm not familiar with her at all, but she plays Furiosa's mom.
Oh yeah, she ruled.
She kicked a pile of ass in this movie.
Yeah. She was great. And then like, I don't know, I was just looking up things, about the movie afterwards. So the guy, there's like basically what I would call the male protagonist lead. If that's like basically supporting male, good, not a complete scumbag.
He's the guy that trains Furiosa how to basically be like what's the Imperator?
Imperator, I believe it is.
Imperator, yeah.
And so that was like the guy, that was the brother from Only God Forgives.
That's wild.
And then
also he looks exactly like, I said this to Gogs watching the movie, but he looks exactly like Solid Snake. If they don't make him fucking Solid Snake, if they make a Metal Gear.
Oscar Isaac. Aren't they already making
him? Did they already cast it? I don't know.
I thought so.
And then, there's one cat in this movie. He plays, Rictus Erectus's brother who dies in the video game and doesn't make it into Fury Road. But he played, you remember, Sean, you remember Slit, the other war boy that was kind of like Nux's rival?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy has now shown up in both George Miller projects as two different characters. Yeah. Yeah. Brand loyalty.
I have a question for you too. There's no chance George Miller's Justice League would have been good, right? Like no matter how much we would have liked to have seen that, it would have just been like beaten to death by the studio.
It could have been great.
Could have been good. I mean, I don't know. I think like, you know, who knows? It's hard to say, but I mean, I think if nothing else, like George Miller works, like he's a good writer and he works with good writers. And I think that was the biggest downfall of the whole Snyderverse.
Yeah, but you know how it is with them. It's like they're going to send 1,000 notes, like Metamorpho's cape doesn't look like that. And you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. I mean, who knows? I'd rather have George Miller in charge of shit than Zack Snyder, I can tell you that.
Ew.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing, talking about the CGI in this movie, like, I think people forget, like, the original Fury Road took 10 years to make. Like, maybe he didn't want to take another 10 years to make this
movie. My man doesn't got another 10 years.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know. It's so, like, I hope he gets to make, he says he's not done in the Mad Max, like, universe, and I hope he makes another one.
Maybe he's going to make his Surf's Up Mad Max crossover, Happy Feet, or whichever one he did.
Happy, yeah, he's Happy Feet.
Possibly both. I don't know. But yeah, I love it. Also,
if you're a Fury Road fan, strong recommend.
And Anya Taylor-Joy is great in it too. We didn't even really talk about her. She's great.
No, she's like only in it like half the movie. Like,
yeah,
the other half is like. At first, I thought they de-aged Anya Taylor-Joy, but it's a full blown other actress for little.
Yeah, but did you feel like if you didn't know that, would you have picked up on that? Because I didn't. I was like that.
What? That was a different actress. I assume they just, yeah, like, I thought that they de-aged her.
No, I guess,
because it,
right.
Well, it looks so much like her.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like uncanny, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't. It was so much that I questioned whether they did it digitally or if they got someone else that just looks precisely like her, just 10 years younger or whatever.
And by the end of the movie, she even sounds like, fucking Charlize Theron, which I thought was kind of wild. Like, I don't know, like, obviously it's intentional, but I was, like, kind of impressed. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. But yeah, it's a kick-ass movie.
Fucking solid. And then it just dovetails literally into the beginning of the second, or into Fury Road.
Yeah, they pulled a, what's that, the Rogue One. They did
Rogue
the,
One.
Like,
yeah.
Though I will say, people are complaining about that because they complain about everything. There's no indication of the passage of time. Like, because people are like, well, she wasn't Furiosa that long, but like, you don't know how long between when
you
when,
do know how long.
No, you're not listening. You don't know how long. So you don't, when she gets done with Chris Hemsworth, you don't know how long a span of time that is between when she puts the plan together to get out of there.
I have a rough guess.
Do they spend any time at the
But I don't place? Want to say, I don't want to say it yes. because it's a spoiler to the movie.
Where the movie opens.
Okay.
But like there's a pretty clear delineation of how much time has passed. And those complaints are stupid as a result. Like a significant amount of time has passed.
Well, yeah, because of the Chris Hemsworth thing. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes, 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 yeah.
So, like, anyone who's saying that there's not enough time passed to her to establish herself as a character is also dumb and doesn't
understand. Also, she's already established by the end of the movie anyway, so.
Correct.
Like, she argues with Immortan Joe and they're not like, fuck, kill this bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, also, like, I said this to Gogs, like, I was a little sad. It's a little sad when you see Immortan Joe because what's his name passed away. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's a different actor, obviously, and it's like, aw. Kind of sucks because like I didn't even the second viewing there's characters that are in Fury Road that are in this one that I missed. Like there was a in the beginning of Fury Road, one of the war boys who I think in real life was like a stuntman or something, he's like the guy that's like literally on the side of the war rig with Charlize Theron. He's in this movie. Yeah. Like he's there. There's a couple of other guys that are like next to Joe in the original that are in the movie. So it's pretty.
The organic mechanic makes a comeback.
Yeah. It's always fun. I love that actor. So it's always fun to see that guy. He was, he was in that fucking movie that we watched on the show that we always talk about and season two of Fargo, which I love so much, but I love that actor. I was really happy to see him show up. Also, what a great fucking name. Organic Mechanic.
Come on. Top marks, whoever came up with that.
And you Sean? Got that one guy that's always playing with his fucking tits through the whole movie.
Oh, the people eater. The
people eater.
Yep.
Sean, what did you watch, my friend?
I watched one film.
One thing?
I think I'm going to get beat up for this opinion, probably, but I watched Alex Garland's Civil War. Like ooh, I thought it was really bad. I thought it was really abject, kind of stupid and terrible. Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's on my list to watch this week, so that's interesting. Okay,
it's I think TJ, you're probably the only one that's seen it so far, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's a movie with no point of view, and I know that's intentional, but like you can't really have a war movie without a point of view. Like it doesn't really work. And like it kind of is a movie that lionizes traditional media for some reason. Like it, like a form of media that doesn't really exist anymore, and certainly not in an independent capacity. Like there's a conflict that it's not explained, which is fine, but like the belligerence in the conflict, the Republic of Texas and California, like, I don't know, man. Like it's very, you can tell it was written by somebody that's not from here. Like it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's just this kind of protracted road trip movie where it's like, oh, we're journalists. We can't get involved, even though journalists get involved and intervene and shit constantly, like saving people in Katrina. They're not just going to stand there and be like, hey, should I shoot this guy? It's like, well, let me take a picture. Like, it's just kind of wrongheaded and dumb, and like, it lacks any kind of real vision. It's one of those movies that like, it's reminiscent of a bunch of other movies that you like, but doesn't touch any of them really. I really didn't like it at all. And like, I thought the action set pieces were fine. Everything in between it was incredibly boring. I thought the cast was really unlikable, except for, I can't remember what the Mentat from Dune's name is, that big fat guy. You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, that guy.
He's been in a million things. But it's also weird because, like, it's, you know, ostensibly, like, half of the military force of the U.S. fighting the other half, and there's, like, 9 pieces of armored vehicles, and it's, like, very small. I don't know. They're all taking – there's one girl that's taking film photographs in black and white, I guess for artistic reasons. Like, I don't know what that's for. They're ostensibly working for Reuters because the internet doesn't work, but it kind of works, but they're still taking digital photos. It's like, it's kind of a mess, and I really didn't care for it. DJ, what did you think?
God damn.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Oh, God. Okay.
I already talked about it. I talked about it.
I don't know what you said.
But I haven't watched it since. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I don't know. Ugh. I thought it was really good. I mean, I get what you're saying, but like, I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you're right. There really isn't any kind of like independent media these days, but like, if there were, I don't know. Again, it's like, it's a fucking come and see type movie, right? Like, it's not that's why they're not taking, like, there's no, you know, it's a horrors of war.
Yeah, but come and see has a view. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it, I don't know, man. Like, it's just so bland. It's got like, feels kind of libby. I didn't like it. I don't think it's constructed really well. I think for a movie that's under 2 hours, it's paced incredibly poorly. Like, you know nothing about the characters. They're like super arch or they're total blank slates. Like, I don't know. Jesse Plemons in it for 10 minutes and like his scene's kind of stupid. Like, what kind of American are you? Are you American? Well, I'm Chinese. And all he shoots him. It's like, okay, well, they're xenophobic, but are they having a civil war or like what is going on particularly here? And it's just like they have all these we're journalists. And it's like, why would these people take these journalists with them anywhere, considering everybody's committing like a billion war crimes all the time? And then it's like, get the fuck out of our way. And then they're helping them get through the White House. I don't know, man. It's that movie is bad. It is a bad movie with a bad script. Right. And it hurts me a lot because I like Alex Garland.
Take that, Alex Garland.
Yeah.
Fuck, did not like it.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Punk ass bitch.
All right. Punk ass Alex ass Garland ass bitch.
That means somebody else has to watch it to decide who's right.
Oh, I'm going to do it. I want to be the deciding vote.
Let's say
the opposite of God says to Nate.
Hell yeah.
We can invoke the Nate principles.
It'd be like Arrested Development. We'll keep bringing in sets of twins. Keep bringing in pairs of people that always have the opposite opinion.
All right, let's get into Mean Girls the musical. Gogs, what happened? Mean Girls, the new movie, as
wanted to call it. Exactly the same thing that happened in Mean Girls, the old movie. So, Katie Heron moves from Africa, and she gets thrust into the politics of being a high school junior, and she meets all of the cliques, the sportos, the dweebies, the jocks.
the horny actors.
Yeah, the horny band geeks and like
the horny band geeks.
What is it? The mean Asian hotties, or is that not in this one? That's not in the movie.
So, but then most importantly, she meets her two friends, Janice and Damien. who are sort of social outcasts, but they represent the queer community. And then she meets the Plastics, and the Plastics are Gretchen Wieners, Karen something something, and Gretchen Regina Wieners. George. And since Katie is conventionally attractive, she gets ish. Well, I think more so than the rest of the Plastics.
Yeah, but Regina George, like, and everybody else, like, not even a close second.
Okay, take that, Gogs' opinion about Aubergine Daco or whatever her name is, because I looked it up and couldn't figure it out. So she gets invited to sit and have lunch with the Plastics. And so, Okay. Did I lose TJ? Are we still here?
I wouldn't say we lost him.
Nice. Anyway, so she reports back to her friends, Damien and Janice, and they're like, great, you can use this to leverage. We can bring her down because she's the queen of mean in the school and we all hate her. Also, they're singing the entire time.
Yeah, the singing.
So they sing through the movie and the plot happens. Go ahead.
The songs suck. Did anybody enjoy or remember any of the songs in the movie?
The one, the Janice one, I thought was catchy right before Regina gets hit by the bus. That one stuck in my head for a minute.
The only song I even remotely enjoyed was when Regina is writing the page about herself in the burn book.
Yeah.
That girl is a hell of a singer.
Yeah,
she's a great voice. She's a very talented singer. She's the one, she's from the show, the Broadway show.
Yeah.
She's the actual Broadway actress. They brought her over.
You think of something like a Team America, and you remember like all the songs, like when you leave. Like, I know that's not necessarily fair, but.
Even not another teen movie. There's a couple of songs in that, and I remember all the songs.
Pussy, no matter what.
I just jerked off your French toast.
Well, anywho, sorry. Yeah. I just got a tornado warning on my phone.
Yeah. There's a bunch of tornado warnings.
From
11.
Love it. Love that.
You're in the basement. You're good.
That is true. I'll be fine. Right. Plot. If you've seen Mean Girls, it's the plot of Mean Girls. It's, she infiltrates the Plastics. She gains their trust. She sort of backstabs Regina into eating fat bars and tries to get her boyfriend. Meanwhile, she's failing math and you think that everything's going to plan and Regina finally gets her comeuppance. But then Katie becomes a Plastic herself. Go ahead.
The whole point. Katie falls in love with Regina's ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
Aaron.
And Aaron Samuels, maybe?
Samuels, that's correct.
She falls in love with him. And then Regina finds out that she's in love with him and she forces herself on him to get him back just to take Katie down. And then then Katie decides, oh no, I'm going to take you down now. Take you down.
You're right. That's when she turns the corner and makes this
into she's just like kind of
corporate espionage.
At first she's just kind of barely infiltrated, just reporting back to, what are their names? I don't know why I can't think.
Damien and Janice.
Damien. Reporting back to them and they'll have a good laugh about it.
Yeah.
Can we take a brief time out to talk about how ugly the guy who plays Aaron Samuels is and how like nobody would be fighting over this dude?
Yeah, he's really not a good looking guy.
He looks like one of the original little bits. I don't know, but he was handsome. Bits.
He was better looking than this. I still didn't think he was that handsome, but he was better looking
than this. Yeah, this for sure.
This guy kind of looks like a skinny Jesse Plemons.
Also, I'm just going to put it out there.
Not very handsome.
The original cast of Mean Girls was like, they were all dimes. Like every single one of them across the board.
Yeah.
Here they're like, they're the best at scraping a 7, you know, like it's not good.
Goddamn. Well, anyway, the plot continues and Katie becomes a Plastic and then she gets called on it. And then the burn book comes out with Regina's ultimate, reverse card. Everyone now hates Regina or hates Katie and Regina simultaneously on TikTok. More musical, Math Olympics, Spring Fling, break up the tiara, everyone's a princess. Also, Regina George is hit by a bus, and that's the end. It's the same. It's just fucking Mean Girls, just with songs in it. It is a movie about a better movie with songs in it.
Yeah, there were very few things about this
movie. Her getting hit by the bus isn't even the end of the movie, though.
No, it's like the third act. It's like it tips off like the middle of the third act.
That's how the original goes, too.
Right.
Lindsay Lohan, at like however old she is, she's got to be what, in her late 40s now?
She's our age.
Like 40s?
No, she's like 44. She's like our age.
Okay. She looks better than any of the kids in this movie, like, easily.
Take that. Oh my God. Lindsay Lohan. They're in their 20s.
Is she really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
Lindsay Lohan is enough. She's 37. Jesus Christ.
She's significantly younger than us.
That's depressing.
We would not have been in high school at the same time.
There is one thing I liked about this movie, and it's a very quick thing where it implies that Tina Fey and Tim Meadows are a couple.
Oh, you caught that too, about the, you gotta take care of the cat tonight or whatever.
Yeah. Also, there's a Vote for Pedro poster in this movie, which just like, I was like, okay, this is not gonna be good.
Every line Tim Meadows has in this movie is funny.
He's just funny.
He's I a wish funny I had dude. More of that. More of Tim Meadows.
It's charm. The charm of this movie is very few and far in between. It's almost like they didn't understand why people liked the first one, why it's so iconic.
Yeah.
And like, you made a musical. People love the musical. People just love musicals. Like, they want to go see the shit on Broadway.
They even took like something simple like the Glenn Coco joke and like turned it into like kind of this weird song, and it just like killed it stone dead. Like, it's every time they introduce something, they add all this music to it, and it just subtracts from the jokes somehow. Like, they had to sacrifice the comedy for the songs, even though the songs themselves aren't particularly funny.
Yeah.
I don't listen to musicals, but like, people buy like the soundtracks to the musicals and just listen to the songs, right? Like, I can't imagine somebody listening to these songs.
Someone is right now, probably.
That's amazing to me.
And like, I guess we're not the target audience for this, probably. But no, it's intensely, they made this movie like intensely boring.
It's just like a watered down version of, I didn't watch the original. I haven't seen the original Mean Girls in a while, and I didn't watch it prior or before or after this. So like, if I was kind of thinking like, if this was the only thing you've ever seen, it's fine.
That's me. But it's not. I can answer that. I've never seen the original.
Not this movie's target audience. If this movie's target audience, if you're in this movie's target audience and you've never seen the original, you probably think this is okay.
Yeah, no, yes. I agree with that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
This movie made $104 million on a budget of $36.
That's insane.
That's how you make money.
I didn't hear about, like, this is one of those movies that, like, came and went. I didn't hear anybody talk about this movie, but I mean, why would I guess?
I mean, I heard about it, but I thought it was just a straight remake. I didn't realize it was a musical till a little bit later on.
I mean, I saw the trailers, like, and they make it pretty clear that it was a musical from the trailer, so.
Yeah. I mean, made money, so good on them.
It's just, I know this is a remake, but it almost feels like, you remember when they would do Disney, like, direct-to-video sequels, and they'd keep some of the cast, but not the rest of it, and it was just kind of, like, flatter and not as good? That's kind of what this is for me.
Yeah, it has moments. Like, I liked the Spring Fling at the end. Regina George is like out of her mind on pain pills, like high. She's like completely stoned. I have no idea what's going on. She's like, yeah, whatever. And not
I like everybody on these pills.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud at points on this movie. Like, I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
I wish they would have shown a scene of her in lacrosse gear obliterating people like they did with Rachel McAdams, the original.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, just taking people out.
Hold on.
It's a flash flood warning in effect. You probably got the same alert I just did.
I just make sure it wasn't actual like a tornado thing. Sorry, guys. Continue.
Yeah, it has its moments, but overall, it's not. It's not a certified banger like the original.
No. And I don't know about you
guys. I'm sorry, TJ, but for a movie where they went out of their way to make the entire cast like super diverse, they still managed to keep the three main characters 100% white. And Sean said, made the guy, like, is he's ugly? Is that supposed to be like the diversity part?
There's your diversity.
He's an uggo.
I did have a question. Were they trying to code Gretchen Wieners as Hispanic because she like found the music box? Did she say her abuela gave it to her?
I think she did.
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't
know. Oh, the fucking, my thing is like, it kind of encapsulates the whole movie is like the Amy Poehler scene, the I'm a Cool Mom scene in Mean Girls, the original one, isn't like the best scene in the movie, but it's short, it's kind of punchy, and then it just kind of ends. The version in this movie goes on for like 20 minutes, and it's just like interminable.
Yeah.
A lot of Busy Phillips. Or Busey,
I like Busy Phillips, but yeah, she's no Amy Poehler. I do like her, though.
Yeah.
She did that Girls 5 Eva show that I love so much.
All right.
Yep.
Anything else you're gonna talk about?
I got nothing.
Before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles.
No, I like the main actress. Like, I don't like.
This yeah, movie, she's good.
But I'd like to see her keep expanding her repertoire. She's been in a lot of things that I love.
You've seen The Nice Guys, right, Alec?
Yeah, I've seen The Nice Guys. She's in the Spider-Man movie. She's in These Final Hours.
She's I forgot
she was
in that.
She's Aussie. She's oi. She's
Australian, yeah. She should have been in Mad Max.
You can barely even hear that stupid accent in this.
She's really good. I feel like she's one of these people that, like, she needs her, like, breakout role.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even, like, this is probably her breakout role. Like, we don't see it, but it was a certified hit. Like, it made triple its budget back.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And I'm sure
the soundtrack probably made up a buttload of money too.
That just blows my mind that people would listen to this music.
I totally forgot about her mom as Pam Beasley. Like, she's wasted. Yep. Absolutely wasted in this movie.
Good casting though, because she looks like a young Pam Beasley.
The casting was good, but they didn't give her anything to do.
Hold on, like, in the first movie the parents are
like funny.
Yeah.
Like, we have to, what's that thing? You're in trouble. What's that thing? Oh, grounded? You're grounded.
Oh, they don't, that's stupid. It doesn't show me fucking, the streaming numbers on this. Oh, this isn't even God. So the first soundtrack that I pulled up isn't even from the movie. This is the original Broadway cast recording. Anyway. All right. Sean.
Oh, it's a two. I mean, like, what's the cardinal sin? Don't remind me of a better movie in your movie. Like, that's this whole movie, plus, like, having Tim Meadows and Tina Fey in it also. It's like, oh, I wish I was just watching the other movie. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, even close to the worst movie we've seen, but I think I might have enjoyed it the least. Alec. Mm.
God damn.
I'm going to give it a 3. It definitely isn't the worst that we've ever seen. That was last week.
Yeah.
And then we can't give sub zeros because we give out too many zeros now. But yeah, this isn't just for
the
me.
The floor is too low.
For me, it just missed the mark. Like, I can see why people love it because, especially its target audience, like teenage girls, they love musicals. They love me girls, I assume. But the original's infinitely better than this.
And shout out to actual Mean Girls. I like them too. They're fun.
My favorite.
Yeah. 3. there's not a lot to talk about it. I wish before I picked it and locked it in, I would have known it was a musical. because I probably wouldn't have picked it. Would have thought about something else. But
nobody knew it was a musical with me. So funny.
Yeah, but I had already said it, so I was stuck with it.
You couldn't set it and forget it, Ron Popeil style.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Is he dead?
I would assume.
No.
Yeah. He's gotta be, right? Yeah. So I'm giving it a 5. Like, it's like, I started hating it like immediately, and then it kind of warmed on me a little bit. Like, it's, if you knew nothing else, it'd be fine. And, but it did remind me of a better, like, I would say the original Mean Girls is like an 8-9. And this is just like I laughed at parts of this. But I'm not going to remember it. It didn't like, it's just, and a lot of it probably is me laughing at it. And like, some of the jokes were funny, and then I remembered how they told it before or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, it's perfectly this.
Cromulent.
Like, it's cromulent. It doesn't need like, which actually might show up in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's just black. Good for it. It made some money. Like, the, like, people were fine in it. It shot fine. The music was one of the songs I thought was catchy. It's the same story that I like. So, whatever. It's just a 5. It didn't make me like seething with anger. So, but it's like, you know, it's there. TJ.
It's also a 5 because like, I just don't care. Like, it's just something I'm not going to remember in a week. Like, I already kind of forgot about it. I watched it 2 days ago. Like, I didn't hate it. I don't like musicals. Like, it's not my genre. Like, it's not so, like, I think I can name 2 movies, like, off the top of my head that are musicals that I like. And they're both kind of subversive. Like, they're not real, die-in-the-wool, like, fucking musicals.
So you won't condemn Hamas or Mean Girls?
No. No. But I didn't hate it. And like, I felt it was a little long. Like, I felt like you could make this an hour and a half. Like, it kind of, but then again, you got all the damn songs and that
adds to the runtime. Yeah, you gotta sing 30 seconds of plot into 3 minutes.
But like, I didn't hate my time watching this movie, but I will say that like, right around the time when the hot one gets hit by the bus, I was like, all right, I'm ready for this to be over. And I was like, oh, there's another half an hour of this movie. I'm like, oh man. I will say, talking about diversity, the head mean girl, the Regina, whatever, she's like kind of thick. So that's diversity too. She's a little heavier than usual actress.
A woman of average weight.
I have to disagree with Sean twice tonight. I thought she was very attractive. But I will say
the hottest one in the cast.
I talked about this over text with Sean, I believe. I think it was Sean. It might have been Gogs, but this movie also kind of has like the Euphoria problem, because like one of the girls' songs is literally like, "Look how fucking hot I am," and they're supposed to be like 17. It's like, like, yeah, the Indian girl is kind of hot and her, like, tits are pushed up and it's like, okay, cool. But, like, it's kind of weird at the same time. Like, I'm not against it. And I know she's probably, like, 35, but it's kind of weird, right? Like,
nope, she is 19.
For real?
Yep.
Oh, God. Dirty rat.
That's not me. It's the fucking movie.
No,
that's
not entrapment. No, that was you. I just heard you say she was kind of hot.
She is kind of hot. Well, she's 19. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she's technically an adult.
Yeah, yeah. Libertarian.
So she's the mind of a child.
Aw.
But yeah, it's like a 5. Again, this isn't for me. I'm never going to think about this movie again. But it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, it's fine. I actually said that I thought that the intro where they transition from a iPhone camera to a wide shot, I thought that was better camera work than anything that I saw in Rebel Moon Part 1 or 2. I was like, that was a nice, clean transition. Like, that was nice, like, good camera work, nice direction there. I was pretty impressed by that. Like, and that was in the first, like, 2 seconds of the movie. I was like, look at that. Like, that's actually competent direction. But, yeah, so. Anybody left?
No.
What's everybody? What's next month?
We're all gone. Nothing. I got nothing.
I thought we had a June.
Somebody just killed us. No, you had a July.
Oh, that's June. The July one. Oh.
Yeah, let's call June low.
Yeah, we could do June low instead of, what was it, July low? Yeah, let's just do June low. We're going to do all...
I don't want to do Jennifer, that.
We're going to do all Jennifer Lopez movies next one.
What's your latest one where she's like a superhero?
That's my pick.
I think that's what TJ's picking.
Atlas. She's a mecha pilot.
I mean, I can already tell you.
No, but she had another one called like Romance or Heart Face.
Nobody's picking something. That. I can tell you the schedule without even knowing is the mech movie, Money Train, The Cell, and maybe Revenge, that one where she's a Chicago cop in Toronto.
Not Anaconda?
Oh, yeah, Anaconda. Weird. I forgot. Yeah.
What about that MMA movie she made? I kind of wanted to pick that.
Oh, I didn't. I wasn't even aware of that.
Oh, doesn't she make a movie that's like the same thing as, what's the Julia Roberts? Sleeping with the Enemy?
I think
she, escapes her husband and finds her.
Like, she's supposed to be dead, and she, comes back from the dead to, murder him, right?
I
might do This Is Me Now, which is the... That? Coinciding with the release of her album of the same name, this narrative-driven odyssey tells the story of Jennifer Lopez's journey to love. Yes.
This Is Me Now.
This Is Me. It came out this year.
Oh, boy. I immediately regret suggesting this.
Yes.
I saw the
plus side, it's 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Oh. Probably like an hour and 5 minutes.
We'll send you the Jenny from the Block.
Where she says that and everybody hisses at her.
Well, I'm picking Atlas. That's the movie next week.
I'm picking Money Train.
The Jennifer Lopez Neon Genesis Evangelion movie.
Yeah, she's drift compatible or whatever in that, right? Like,
it's gonna be so bad. Apparently Ben Affleck is the voice of the robot too, because of course he is.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, they're like together again.
They're married, divorced again. I thought divorced now.
Oh god.
Again?
Yes. Yeah, that was the rumor as of last week.
I saw a TikTok where Sterling K. Brown is in this mecha movie too. And
you know he's gonna be wasted.
They got asked some question about what's your favorite comfort food? And Jennifer Lopez is like, well, I'm Puerto Rican, and fucking Sterling K. Brown goes, you're Puerto Rican? Oh, it was so funny. It's you can just tell that dude is just sick of that bitch's shit. I had no idea. Oh my god.
He never mentioned it.
Bro, he said it so it was cutting. It was amazing.
The funniest thing is she's whole ass Puerto Rican from the Bronx and does not speak Spanish, almost at all.
Is that right? I didn't know.
That is correct. Ben Affleck speaks better Spanish than Jennifer Lopez does.
Yeah, good for him. All right, well, next week, muy, muy bueno.
So what are we watching for next week? What Atlas. Do we have to watch? Atlas.
It's the Jennifer Netflix original, yes. The number one movie on Netflix this week, I believe.
Goody.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
All right.
All right, everybody. See you later.
Eat shit.